G'day Jets fans, welcome back to another pre-season chat, and we're going north. We're going north this time to chat with Dave from the Roarcast about the Brisbane Roar. Dave, good to talk to you again, mate. How's your off-season been?
Yeah, it's been good, mate. It's been nice and relaxing. Haven't had to do too much. Had a World Cup in between everything. It was nice.
Well, that's good. Look, the World Cup. How did you find the World Cup, mate? It was a disappointing tournament for Australia. They showed glimpses, but at the end, lacked a bit of quality?
Yeah, you could probably say that. I think the change of coaches for the time that we, or for the short period of time, much like the previous World Cup, probably didn't help. But it's always a squad that was built for this World Cup anyway, I thought, until that change of manager forced obviously a shuffle in terms of how the new manager decided to take things. So, a bit unfortunate. I think it could have been a bit different story if we had the same coaching staff in charge. But nevertheless, it's moving onwards and upwards. We've got an Asian Cup to worry about after that now, so we'll focus on that.
Well, speaking of onwards and upwards, probably leads us well into the Brisbane Roar. And they scraped into the finals last year before, I think, being comprehensively defeated by City in the first round. With a bit of reflection and a bit of time, how do you look back on that season and how the fans generally reacted to it?
Yeah, look, it was a disappointing season overall. I think it's fair to say the cliches that everyone threw about the age of the team probably were justified, notably by the signing of a player 38 years old to lead our attack, who incidentally led the attack all season. He didn't really kind of miss any games, so it's actually not a bad effort from him in there from Massimo Macaroni. But at the end of the day, the side was ill prepared for the season. We had a few injuries to start things off. Holman to probably name the most notable one there. But we came better towards the end of the season. I won't say we came good. We improved by the end of the season. So you could say, I mean, like you said, we stuck into finals. We continued a bit of a run of finals. But it was a disappointing season overall. It was just not the right squad balance, I don't think, for what we needed.
I mean, John Aloisi throughout that last season came under a fair bit of pressure. I think it's fair to say. Is this a make or break year for John, do you think? Or is it really now considered John's team, you'd say?
It'd have to be. He's had enough time. This is, I think, his fourth season. He's our longest-serving manager. He's really, obviously, anyone that's been at the club from a playing perspective has either been signed by him or re-signed by him. So it's 100% his team now. In all honesty, I think he probably, last season, if we look at last season and who he recruited and when he recruited them, he probably ended up recruiting them a little bit later in some cases than hoped, simply because maybe he missed out on the targets that he was after in the first place. I think he's probably gotten his targets, his signings a little bit more on point this year. Mm. And obviously the average age has dropped down probably by about 5 or 6 years, just with a couple of key transfers out. But I think that's probably one of the reasons for last year's kind of ordinary showing from Brisbane.
Let's look at the outs just for a second there. I mean, Massimo Macaroni is one name that you obviously mentioned. Fahid Benkalfala also retired. Michael Theo, where did Michael Theo end up going?
He wasn't renewed, I don't believe. I don't think he's retired. Could be wrong. But I don't think he's retired. I think he's still trying to play maybe local level football. I don't know where, though. I don't have any info on that.
Mitchell Loxborough is another player that left. We know that he's come back to play locally in Newcastle for Broadmeadow Magic. Jade North, I don't think I saw him retire, but almost considered.
He's basically retired from everything I understand. I don't think he's picked up another club since then. He's got his own Indigenous football.
Yep.
Yeah, that's the one. He's got that, which I think he's refocusing on running more so. But I don't think he's picked up anything since he left.
Ivan Franjic also went over to Perth. Corey Gamiro, interesting Corey Gamiro. I mean, the club nursed him through two ACL reconstructions and decided, I guess, not to renew his contract, and he's gone down to Central Coast Mariners. Was it with best wishes for Corey departing the club?
Yeah, well, Corey didn't actually have too many injuries while he was here. He was stuck behind Massimo Mascherano for a lot of it. He did have a couple of injuries, but nothing to the extent of the ACL injuries he had while he was with City, and I think with Sydney as well. So he was had a, like I said, a couple of small injuries. We kept him out bits and pieces, but he still ended up, I think, doing playing around about, my memory serves me, maybe around about 9 or 10 games. Actually, no, Wikipedia's telling me more. About 18. That's weird. That's
wow.
A bit over the top. But yeah, it was most of the time, obviously, it was off the bench. So he didn't really kind of get the chance to start anything or shine, really, because he was limited game time. But yeah, no, obviously, leaves with best wishes. I actually really wanted to see Gamiro kick on it and really kickstart his career here. But it wasn't to be, and he gets that opportunity now at Central Coast to try and start things up over there.
Corey Brown, he was probably the last on my list of departures. He was probably the biggest departure for the club during the off-season.
For sure. But it was on the cards for a long time. He didn't play for a lot of the back end of last season. We played Connor O'Toole in his place for the majority of the last few months. Corey Brown ended up getting his final run in that semi-final loss. I think it was his 100th game for Brisbane. And then he was off to victory. So he sat on 99 games for a long, long time.
Wow!
But he was that was on the cards for a long time. It just wasn't announced until very, very late in the piece. But we kind of knew he was off.
One of the worst kept secrets in the league, hey?
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. Like Corey Brown, though, he's been one of those players that's at the start he polarized a lot of people. He was very hot and cold, and he was young too, so we knew he was a player that was being developed. But then he had an absolutely belting season, not last season, but the season before. He won our Gary Wilkins Medal, the Player of the Year for the club, and then last season, obviously with his transfer to Victory being a hot topic, I'd imagine there would have been something in the background which John Aloisi, maybe an attitude issue, or maybe just didn't like the way the transfer happened. Ended up getting left out for the back half of the season, which is unfortunate because I did think Corey Brown was a sort of player you could probably keep playing all the way through to the end. But
yeah, left backs are sort of a premium in this league, aren't they?
It is. Yeah, that's why I get the idea of trying to put minutes into the legs of a young Connor O'Toole. But yeah, you're right. Left backs are of a premium. So we'll see how he goes down in Victory.
I mean, to their credit, the Raw really didn't waste any time and. Getting into the transfer market or the signing players, and a name that Newcastle Jets fans are certainly very familiar with is Adam Taggart, and they signed him from Perth Glory in what a surprise move. I didn't see it coming, but it kind of made sense because I mean, Macaroni was never a long-term prospect for the club, and the club have a history of really having dominant strikers, and that's what Adam Taggart, he can be the central man for Brisbane Roar.
Yeah, that's right. We've got not a bad history in bringing through a good young striker you've got obviously the obvious ones, Jamie McLaren from a couple of years ago. Costa Barbarousis re-kicked the start of his career with us when we won the first of our championships. He was doing nothing at Wellington before that. There's a couple of pretty key names there that are killing it for club football and even international football to some degree with Costa since then. So Adam Taggart's obviously been there, been to a World Cup. He's been at the top level off the back of his performances with yourselves, but he kind of had those injury problems when he went overseas. I thought he actually performed really well for Perth, and I understand why the CEO, Tony Sage, was very upset openly on Twitter and Facebook about him not re-signing with Perth. And it's one of the reasons we call Perth the Bitters, though, so there you go. but I was really stoked with Adam Taggart signing. He was one of the players, along with Honda, I thought if we can sign those two players, we'd be absolutely killing it in the off-season. We obviously didn't get Honda, but Taggart, I think, is an absolutely brilliant signing. And he's been scoring a few goals in the off-season, in the pre-season as well. So hopefully he kicks on and does the same thing in Central Coast in round one.
Yeah, look, if he stays fit, he's going to be a very dangerous player for the Roar. And that's the one thing that I agree. When he went to Fulham, he really struggled with it, and that's his fitness, particularly around his knees.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he can put him in. You need someone also to provide the bullets for him. And Stephen Mauch completed the full transfer, joining the team.
4 years.
Terrific signing. The Jets have really recently just completed a four-year signing with Dimi Petratos as well. So it's good to see some longer-term contracts and some stability for players coming into the league. And Mauch's going to have a lot of pressure because he's going to be like Holman, taking over, I guess, from Holman as that central figure in midfield.
Yeah, well, obviously you don't sign for 4 years unless you've got some plans to keep him and make him a big part of your side. The Stephen Mauch, he's really impressed this off-season as well. He, in what was a pretty dreary FFA Cup game we had against Melbourne City, he kind of stood out, not necessarily for the incident that he was unintentionally involved with Bratton being on the deck, but Mauch across the board, he was bustling. He got in everything, and he's a really exciting sort of prospect for our midfield this year. I think he's the sort of player we probably really needed to kind of get so that we could, midfield's one of our dominant areas. It's one of the places that we used to in the past anyway, controlled so well. Matt Mackay's getting on though. Joe Coletti is still probably a touch young and hasn't kind of come on leaps and bounds like a lot of people had hoped. So I think Mauch in that space there will just bring things up a level, which is great.
I mean, Dylan Wenzel-Hall's also signed from the Western Pride, and Stefan Nigro coming the other way from Melbourne Victory up to Brisbane, and he's a player that can fill on either side, as we saw last year. But you've also brought in two visa players so far. The first one being Tobias Mikkelsen from Norgeland. Tell us about him. Where's he play?
He's a winger. Excuse me. He's a winger, plays generally on the right. So I think you'll probably find you'll have Botiak on the left and Mikkelsen on the right. Pretty much taking up the spot that Kelfala had previous last year. He's got a bit of nous about him as well. He's obviously been around in Europe for a little bit and played in a few regional leagues, obviously, in Denmark, where he's from. Mainly, but he's shown a little bit of skill to him as well. He's played a few times for Denmark as well, which is nice to see a player that's he's at the back of his career, he's 32 now, but he's got a little bit about him too. So he's he'll provide a few bullets for Taggart, I would anticipate, and maybe drift into a few back posts and tuck a few away, I hope as well. So he'll be an interesting one to watch this year.
Well, if he certainly has the impact that Morten Nordstrand had for the Jets in his short stint, then he'll quickly become a fan favourite. And the other player is Alex Lopez, recently announced. It was for quite a while there that the club were after Flamini, but that seemed to fall through.
Yeah, well, they kind of just went quiet. It was a bit funny because it was Vince Ruggieri pretty much had his finger on the pulse on this one for a long time, and he was saying it was on again, off again, on again, off again. And at one point, we just said, kind of everything with FFA happened, and we were meant to get an update. I threw out the question to Vince Ruggieri, and he said, I'll let you know over the weekend. Nothing kind of came out about it, and just stayed quiet after that. So, it is what it is. Flamini would have been an amazing signing, but at the end of the day, you look at who we have gotten here in Alex Sanchez. And he seems to be a really good prospect as well. I don't know a whole lot about him. Something just recently signed as well. He seems to have got a pretty good following from Sheffield Wednesday fans, who he apparently just had a blitzing season for them 1 year on loan. But mostly he's just been playing in Spain. And when you play in Spain's La Liga, you get the old, oh, he's played against Messi, he's played against Ronaldo line. So he's not excessively old, he's only 30 or so. So he's still got a few years on him, and if he ends up being a gun player for us this year, you'll have players like Lopez, Botiak, and Mikkelsen that could be just controlling that attacking midfield roles for a couple of years yet.
Sounds really exciting. I mean, what's going to be the key to the success for the Brisbane Roar this year?
To be honest, it's probably just a little bit of everything improving. A little bit of the defensive side of things just kind of stepping up and not conceding some of those simple goals that we concede. We'd score one goal and we'd concede two, or we'd score two goals and we'd still concede two. You know, it's just improving those so that we go from sixth place to maybe a little bit higher up that that finals picture. I don't think we're necessarily going to be contending for the title. I think there's some improvement to go yet, especially in defence. Probably a few key defenders might have helped, but I don't think we're in necessarily horrible shape. I think we're probably good for a top four spot if the season pans out with those new signings the way I hope they would.
So top four there, you're thinking crystal ball time that's achievable from the team.
I think fourth is achievable. When you look at how close generally third to sixth is on the table, there's not usually a whole lot of points difference. So you kind of finish in sixth spot. You think that a few more results go your way, or you just improve a couple of performances, and you can quite easily go up a few spaces in the league. But so I think fourth is certainly possible. Although it's fair to say a lot of the league have improved there with their signings. I think a lot of the teams across the league have just stepped up a notch with regards to the players they're bringing in. Not necessarily just the big name marquees like your Hondas and whatnot, but just the players that muck in and get a job done, the ones that do the hard yards. I think there's a lot of improvement across the league in that regard. So it should be good to see how that all unfolds.
Absolutely agree. So round one at home, Central Coast Mariners. It's going to be important to get a quick start in the Mike Mulvey derby.
Yeah, obviously they apparently either Brisbane or I think Brisbane officially requested that one to make it a bit of a derby thing. But I don't think anyone up here really is all that. No one has any animosity towards him. He left on good terms from the fans' perspective. I mean, he had a bad run before he was sacked, but
he won a title.
I think that's right. He literally just won a title half a season or half a year before that. So he no one here is going to be upset with him if he and when he comes here, no one's going to give any sort of stick to him. But I think that's probably more the club trying to sell that part. But I think the whole Usain Bolt thing is probably more of a pushing point for the club if he ends up getting some sort of crappy sort of cheap deal from Central Coast to be in the squad. I think that's probably the point they'll end up trying to sell it mostly. But nevertheless, it's really a game we need to get 3 points out of because Central Coast is still shit. And
you can come back any time.
Yeah, no worries. to be fair, they've picked out a few reasonable players. Like I said, the whole league's improved when it comes to squad or the squad standard. But they've also picked out a few quality players from New South Wales NPL. But I don't see a whole lot in terms of the overall quality of the squad being more than, say, your bottom two or three still. So, if we don't get 3 points here, it's probably be deemed a bad start on our end.
So I've got five questions. They can be one-word answers if you like. To finish, sure. It's prediction time. Who are the premiers? Okay. Who are the premiers going to be?
Probably Melbourne Victory.
Grand final winners.
I would say Brisbane, just because I'm Brisbane.
You've got to can't put that hold that one against you. Hey, sorry,
Victory got it from fourth last year, and I'm tipping us to finish fourth. So why not twice in a row?
Yeah, I don't know if you'll be invited back now. I might take that. wooden spooners.
We'll probably play Newcastle.
Oh, okay then. Yep, you can stay.
Yeah, yeah. and because of our normal history for away games, we'll obviously be playing in Newcastle.
Oh, yeah, and you always win when you come to Newcastle too.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I don't know. We might move that one.
Yeah, right.
Wooden spooners.
I hate to say it, but Wellington's not really picked up enough players for reasonable players to be anything but wooden spinners at the moment.
And the top scorer?
That's a good one. I'll go out on a limb and say Honda will.
Okay. And where do you think the Jets will finish?
I think the Jets will probably finish third.
Very good.
Still quality squad, but I think Sydney and Victory will probably do the job to start with. And Melbourne City and Victory, sorry, not Sydney. I think they'll die off and probably end up bottom of the bottom of the finals. But yeah, I think be an interesting one.
Very good. Dave, thank you very much for joining us. And if people do want to get in touch with you, they can find you at The Rawcast on Twitter and on Facebook as well, mate.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. We're actually recording our first episode of the season over the weekend, or officially our second episode of the season, as we did our annual FFA Cup show.
Yep.
We only do one a year up here.
Yeah, so do we.
But yeah, jump on our Facebook and our Twitter and get involved with us with any sort of banter, especially when we do play your good selves during the season. It's always fun.
Yeah, no, it's always fun, and the podcast is fantastic for anyone who's looking for something different to have a listen to. These guys are fantastic. They always talk to us when we ask, and they're really good friends of our pod. So, Dave, thank you very much for your time today, and good luck for the season.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate it.